Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Oh, don't break my heart. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. So we've got multiple big stuff going on right now, if that's a correct expression, multiple big stuff. One of them is the baseball situation where Rob Manfred said today on ESPN he's not sure if there's going to be a baseball season, then baseball. Tony Clark, MLBPA, came out and said they're disgusted by the fact that Rob Manfred is going back on his word that 100% there would be a baseball season. It's all about money. Now, we don't know. Baseball is hanging in the balance, and I'm telling you, they are screwing this up so badly. This is the most public negotiation you could possibly imagine, and it looks awful. This arguing looks awful, given what is happening in the country, the pandemic, the Black Lives Matter movement, people in the streets protesting, and these guys can't put their heads together and get a good deal done. And, John, you say it's not Rob Manfred. Rob Manfred, ultimately, this lands on his doorstep.
Right, just because he's the commissioner, but he works for the owners. I mean, he can't do anything unilaterally. He's got to do what the owners want him to do. But here's a theory. Okay, so let's say Manfred and the owners know that they only want to play the minimal amount of games, like 40 to 50 games. Right? They don't want to play any more than that because they're going to lose money every time there's a game. By delaying this again, by going on ESPN tonight and saying what we just played, Manfred basically saying he's not confident, there won't be a season, blah, 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 that he's basically running out the clock on the players, that he knows they're going to play eventually, but if they don't start until middle or end of July and they want to keep the World Series where it is, then they can only play 40 to 50 games, which is what the owners want all along.
Yeah, that's a BS theory, though, John, because the players have basically already said, just give us a schedule and we'll show up. Why don't the owners just give them a schedule and let the players show up and follow it? They basically conceded, all right, 48 games is what it is. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah, but Manfred said that part of the reason they're holding it up is because the players are going to sue him for $1 billion. He doesn't want to get sued.
So under what grounds? It's in the agreement. It's in the March agreement that Rob Manfred has final say. If they're unable to negotiate, he's allowed to unilaterally decide exactly how the season's going to go. The players have basically said, okay, go ahead and do it. And by the way, this is going to be ugly no matter what. 2021, the collective bargaining agreement expires. I mean, this is just the beginning of the animosity and the antagonism between owners and players, unfortunately.
Yeah, and Bill Shaken from the LA Times is going to come on in the bottom of the hour. Bottom of the hour, Lindsay, 4:30.
That's 4:30, yeah.
Yeah, that's 4:30 to you.
And what, so he can shed a little light on this, but I think if you play, Funch, play again the Manfred line, he basically said that the players are going to file a grievance and sue him for $1 billion. Here's Manfred again. Listen carefully to the middle of this.
You told Carl Ravitch here on ESPN last week that you felt 100% certain that there will be a season this year. How do you feel today?
Well, I know the owners are 100% committed to getting baseball back on the field. Unfortunately, I can't tell you that I'm 100% certain that's going to happen. I had been hopeful that once we got to common ground on the idea that we were going to pay the players full prorated salary, that we would get some cooperation in terms of proceeding under the agreement that we negotiated with the MLBPA on March 26th. Unfortunately, over the weekend, while Tony Clark was declaring his desire to get back to work, the union's top lawyer was out telling reporters, players, and eventually getting back to owners that as soon as we issued a schedule, as they requested, they intended to file a grievance claiming they were entitled to an additional $1 billion. Obviously, that sort of bad faith tactic makes it extremely difficult to move forward in these circumstances.
What are your concerns for the optics of this circumstance playing out as publicly as they are during the time in this country where all the other things, the confluence of events involving the pandemic and protests in the streets and everything else, of this playing out as publicly as it is?
It's just a disaster for our game. Absolutely no question about it. It shouldn't be happening. And it's important that we find a way to get past it and get the game back on the field for the benefit of our fans.
Would you describe your feelings as confident that there will still be a season?
I'm not confident, Mike. I think there's real risk. And as long as there's no dialogue, that real risk is going to continue.
So the thing holding this up is the $1 billion. They won't, you know, they're going to.
What is the $1 billion? Where is that coming from?
MLB is basically saying to the union, it won't start a season unless you waive your right to a grievance hearing. The grievance that they're threatening to file is for $1 billion. That's, you didn't hear Manfred say that? He said,
yeah.
He goes, they're going to file a grievance saying they're entitled to $1 billion. And so they want them to waive their right to a grievance. And unless the players do that, I don't think that we're going to have a season.
What an ugly effing mess.
Right.
Good Lord. Unbelievable.
You know, the owners could file a grievance, too. So maybe
these things are always worse with baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, NBA's had its lockout, and NFL had its replacement players. But it's like there is never any peace with baseball. Never any peace at all. The players' union.
It's the only sport without a salary cap.
Yeah, the players' union is so strong in baseball, thanks to a lot of trailblazers who fought really hard to earn that sort of leverage and earn that sort of weight. But now it's stalemate. It's stalemate,
right?
Every time we come to an agreement or a non-agreement. 877-710-ESPN. We're going to get some phone calls in.
So that's one big story. The other big story is this NBA story where the players met on Friday night, led by Kyrie Irving, and decided Kyrie decided to use that call to state his case that they shouldn't play, that maybe they should consider shutting down the season. And we've been debating back and forth over Mason and I both think that's a bad idea, although certainly Kyrie and Dwight Howard and the people that feel that way are entitled to their opinion, and we should listen to them. One thing we've learned from these protests is it's about listening to the other side and hearing them out. Here's Joe from L.A. on line two, who wants to weigh in on that. Hey, Joe, you're on 710 ESPN.
Yes, I agree with both of you in that I believe the NBA gives the players a great platform to further the cause, the very social causes, as in the aftermath of the George Floyd death.
Yep.
At the same time, I think both of you are way off base in that I don't know, Mason, I don't know why Courtney Cox was your second worst friend in Ireland. You have to take into account Courtney Cox gave us a bad look by showing us her bare feet and her bunions in every episode of Cougar Town.
Cougar Town was highly underrated, Joe.
Hey, bare feet and bunions.
Yes. Ice Cube is the birthday of the day, not Courtney Cox.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you,
all
Joe.
Right. Thank
it's
you
a,
very
it's
much.
A legitimate argument, I have
yes,
to admit.
No, it is. It is. Your bare feet and bunions. I never watched that show. Do you watch that show?
Oh, you missed out. It was fantastic.
It was a great show.
It was basically about a bunch of people living in Florida, and all they did was drink.
Wow.
There was
sounds
nothing
like
better
friends
to do, so they drank. It was fun.
All right. Coming up next, we'll get more of your phone calls, 877-710-ESPN. By the way, we've got a big replacement for Fast Track coming up at 5 o'clock. You know that the powers that be, Boss Betty Pantsuit and Corporate Greg, have killed Fast Track. They put a knife in its back when it wasn't looking. That's how they roll. So we have come up with a replacement that we will launch at 5 o'clock today. Make sure you're here for that. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland. That's right, I'm in a good mood, although baseball could quickly sink my mood if they go ahead and trash the 2020 season. We're also talking about the situation with Dwight Howard and the Lakers. Dwight Howard says, along with Kyrie Irving and some other players, Avery Bradley included by the Lakers, is that by playing right now, they may be distracting from the Black Lives Matter movement, and that's not what they want to do. So those are a couple things going on.
Yeah, I'm actually more confident there's going to be an NBA season now than a Major League Baseball season, although I think they're both going to play.
I am 100% positive there's going to be an NBA season, whether people sit out or not. I think it's going to happen. There were only 80 players on that call or 70 players on that call with Kyrie Irving, whatever it was. But baseball, I think there's a real chance that they trashed the year. Because that's what baseball does. Baseball will F up a ham sandwich.
Here's AJ from L.A. AJ, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, great job on the Laker game, John. It's too bad you got a great squad. You can't call any games right now.
Well, mate, stand by, AJ. I'm confident we're going to get back out there next month. At least I hope so.
Well, I just wanted to say, guys, you know, baseball's been upsetting fans since 1994. I know a lot of people that still don't watch the game because they had no World Series back then.
Absolutely right. It pissed me off, man. 94, greed won the World Series.
So my question is, if there's no World Series in 2020, what kind of damage control is that? Are they going to have to make up another home run derby or something to catch interest again?
Yeah, it's a fair question. You know, baseball is already in a generational struggle. Baseball fans tend to be older. Baseball fans tend to be whiter, let's be honest. Huge Latino following, but a lot of old white guys follow baseball. When I'm old, I will be a white guy following baseball. So,
and it's not realistic either for the regular people. I'm an apartment manager, and a lot of people aren't paying their rent, and you got these people complaining about 30% of their $100 million contract. Come on.
Yeah, I don't think people are sympathetic to either side, to the millionaires
side, no.
Or the billionaires. But I think the reason, AJ, we don't have baseball is the owners. I think the owners could end this thing today, and they just don't want to. But thanks for the phone call.
Thanks,
you know, by the way, Mace, I don't know how much of it you saw, but last night was the Long Gone Summer, the social.
You know,
Maguire.
I totally forgot it was on. I got wrapped up in two episodes of The Sopranos, and I forgot that Long Gone Summer was on. How was
it? It's good. It's worth watching. It's, you know, here's what I would say about both Be Water and Long Gone Summer.
Yes.
They're good. Both of them worth watching. Not as good as The Last Dance, not as bad as the Lance Armstrong. So they're 2 and 3 in whatever order you want to put them.
Well, Last Dance is obviously number one.
Right.
I mean, that was a cultural phenomenon. I didn't see Long Gone Summer, but I loved Be Water. I'm a huge Bruce Lee fan. I love Be Water. Lance Armstrong seemed like a rehash to me. Like, I've seen that. There's a great movie, by the way, if you want to know more about Lance Armstrong and you didn't get enough from the 30 for 30. Great movie called The Armstrong Lie, which is available on Netflix right now. Fantastic documentary. But I feel like I've done there, been that. Done there, been that?
Yeah, it's close.
No, been there, done that with Lance Armstrong. But Be Water, I thought, was fantastic. And you say Long Gone Summer is just okay?
It's good. It's like Be Water. I wouldn't use the word fantastic, but it's good. I think you should watch it. But and one of the questions you will ask yourself after you watch it is, so when I was at UCLA, Mark McGwire was at USC.
Sure.
And one of my best friends was a pitcher on the UCLA baseball team, a guy I went to high school with named Jeff Priest, who listens to our show all the time. He's now a pastor at Mariners Church.
What's up, man?
In Orange County. And so I would go to all of Jeff's games at Jackie Robinson Stadium. And McGwire back then, Mace, when he was in college, was hitting just tape measure home runs.
Right.
Just ridiculous bombs for homers. So he gets into the major leagues, and he just keeps doing what he's always done, hitting these like incredibly long tape measure home runs. Now, he maintains in Long Gone Summer that the PEDs he took were not to enhance his performance. It was to keep him on the field.
Right.
He had all these injuries, and he didn't think he was going to be able to stay on the field unless he took these drugs because they helped him heal faster.
Okay.
And back then, even in 98, they weren't testing for PEDs in baseball. So Sosa says during this thing that he said everybody was on them. He said, you know, the whole league was doing them. And this is what gave birth to Barry Bonds hitting the 73 home runs, you know, a few years later. So I wonder if those guys, like, you've always said you'll never vote for anybody who used PEDs to go into the Hall of Fame.
That is correct.
But the problem is they weren't illegal. Or if they were, they didn't test for them. So don't you have to cut them a little bit of slack for that?
No, because I don't believe it was real, whether it was against the rules or not, whether there was a rule or not. What I saw was not real. It wasn't real. Just, I mean, who's the all-time home run king?
I recognize Aaron.
I recognize Henry Aaron because I know he did it legit. I don't believe that those guys were legit. And I thought, by the way, Mark McGwire embarrassed himself at the testimony before Congress.
Yeah, that's part of this. You'll see part of this in the thing. You know what I didn't know? Okay, so Mark McGwire, this will just show you about how records got all distorted throughout the steroid era. Mark McGwire has had for 30 years the rookie home run record. When he was a rookie for the A's, he had 49 homers.
Yep.
Okay, it's been broken twice since. Do you know who broke it?
No.
Lindsay, do you know who broke it?
I think it was last year or the year before. I think it was last year, wasn't it? The guy who won the Home Run Derby in the All-Star Game.
Name You're right. Me. Well, first Aaron Judge
Pete Alonso.
Broke it. And then Pete Alonso broke it.
Ah.
But it's funny, you know, that I think when the steroid era went through and all these guys put up all these insane numbers that everybody just stopped paying attention. You know, it used to be that was a pretty important record. But now, like, Mace, what's the record for most home runs hit in a season?
It is 73.
Okay. Technically, you're right. But you just said you recognize Henry Aaron. So why don't you recognize Roger Maris's 61?
Well, because you didn't phrase the question that way.
But I'm saying that's the ring. I think people are all confused now. You know, people are all confused. So you, if you don't recognize Bonds for his total home runs, you can't recognize him for his single season, but you just
right.
did.
Sure. So it's
that's
Maris.
What I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I mean. I mean, I think that it, through, you know, baseball records used to be really important to people. That's how we compared Babe Ruth to Hank Aaron.
Yeah, sure.
Like, everybody knew Babe Ruth had 714. And Hank, remember what a huge deal Hank Aaron's 715 was?
Oh, man, now, it was gigantic. Everybody, it was like, what, 1974?
Yeah, I don't even remember when Bonds hit 756.
No, I don't either.
I don't remember where I was or what was happening or, you know, but I remember when Henry Aaron did that. All the steroid era, like, minimize the importance of records and numbers in baseball. At least that's what I took part of from that documentary last night, is that these guys just, you know, Sosa hit more than 60 three times.
Yeah. Those, I think, are totally fake.
Right.
Those are totally fake records.
So it's just weird. Here's Camilo from Boyle Heights. Hey, Camilo, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I appreciate you taking the call.
Sure, man.
I want to weigh in on the NBA being in the bubble. I completely can empathize and sympathize with concerns be health related, as far as making sure everybody is safe and all that. Also, I can also understand some trepidation and going forward with what's going on as far as the Black Lives Matter and civil rights progress that we're trying to accomplish right now. I can definitely understand that. But this narrative about not wanting to be away from their families for 7 to 10 weeks is just ridiculous to me. Every year, over 1 million service members do just that in much, much more austere environments and conditions. So it's just like a childish argument to me. And every time I hear it, every time I hear it aggregated by whether it be Ramona or anybody else that's talking about that's a concern, it like angers me. All I can think is, grow up. Are you kidding me? You're going
right.
to see a 40 by 40 mile playground with, you know, listen, I spent 10 years in the military, and there was many times where I went 4, 5, 6 months without even a letter from anyone.
Right.
So, you know, the times that we're in now, with the technology that we have now. Yes, listen, a day away from my family. I have my own family. A day away from my family, it sucks. But when you got to go bake the bread, you got to go bake the bread. What it is.
That's all right, thanks, man, for the phone call.
And thank you very much for your service, Camillo. We appreciate everything that you've done in your military service. But these guys didn't sign up for the military. John, 7 weeks is a long time. 7 weeks is a long time. I would have a hard time being away from Juan for 7 weeks. I would have a hard time being away from my dogs, Sophie and Fredo, for 7 weeks. I don't have kids, but if I did, it would be hard. 7 weeks is a hardship, and that's longer probably than any of these players have ever been away from their families or wives, right?
Right, and there are some restrictions. For example, like I think when you get to the conference finals, you can bring some family members in. They're going to release that document this week, the health and safety document, maybe as soon as tomorrow or even later today. I think with the recent the thing that's holding it up is with the developments over the weekend, I think it's important. I mean, Adrian Wojnarowski said this on SportsCenter. It's important to Adam Silver and to Michelle Roberts that the players buy into this concept.
Sure.
That they're partners in this. And once they are, then they can come up with rules, restrictions, or guidelines as to how the campus would work. But if there's a large amount of people that feel like Kyrie and Dwight do, then they got to go back to the drawing board. I think that's what they're trying to figure out. Like, who... how loud is that drumbeat that was started on Friday night? And all the reporting from it so far has been those guys are in the minority, that most guys still want to play. They still want to go on campus. And once they get that box checked, once they have a partnership with the players, I think you'll see guidelines that address all those things you're talking about.
And
would I have to go?
Around.
Yeah. Would I have to go 7 weeks? Would I have to, you know, what could I do and what could I not do? I think that's all coming out this week.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next for you, Bill Shaken, LA Times is going to join us. We've got news from baseball that is typical baseball. A breakdown in negotiations between players and owners, and we may not see a 2020 season. We'll get the latest from Bill next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Back from vacation and immediately confronted by bad news. You know I love baseball. You know I love my Dodgers. And now Rob Manfred has said on ESPN he doesn't know if there's going to be a baseball season or not. Joining us right now, maybe with some ray of hope, is Bill Shaken from the LA Times. Hey, Bill, how are you, man?
I'm fine. I'm looking for the ray. I'm not seeing it.
Okay, so Bill, and by the way, you should follow Bill Shaken, S-H-A-I-K-I-N, on Twitter, at Bill Shaken. Bill's been kind of doing this as it's developed throughout the day. And Bill, the one thing that I'm having trouble explaining to people, and I'm hoping you can do a better job than I have, is one of your tweets says, baseball tells union it won't start the season unless players waive the right to a grievance hearing. What would they be grieving? What would the grievance be?
Essentially, the grievance would be, hey, Major League Baseball, you have an agreement in which you agree, and we agree, we're going to work together to have as long a season as possible. You've offered us 72 games, 82 games, 89 games. We've offered you 89, I'm sorry. And now you're talking about giving us 48, 50, something like that. That's not negotiating in bad faith. I'm sorry, that's not negotiating in good faith.
Right.
That would be the source of a potential grievance.
So Rob Manfred has gone from 100% there's going to be a season to I don't know if it's going to happen. Which is this just posturing? Is this just a negotiating game? Are we playing chicken here, or is there a real chance we won't see a season?
Well, remember, Rob is the commissioner of baseball, and as such, he is hired by the owners and he works for them. So when Rob went on national television last week and said, 100% we're playing this season, it's because that's what he and the owners talked about. And what they knew they had in their back pocket was that if you don't reach an agreement with the players, the agreement that the players are now arguing about also gives the owners the right to say, hey, you can have a season of however many games you want, 48, 52, One, 17th, like a bingo card. How many games do you want? And the players can't do anything about it. So that's what they were relying on. Over the weekend, the players decided they had had enough of negotiations. And so they basically said, fine, bring it on. Just tell us on Monday how many games and where we should report to spring training. And after a conference call the owners had today, they decided not to do that. They said, we'd like to continue to negotiate. Obviously, a negotiated settlement is better than not having a negotiated settlement because both sides would give up the idea of grievance. You don't need to be fighting anymore, at least for this year. But then to, you know, come out and say, well, we're not sure about a season, that pretty much set off the players to the point where Tony Clark, the union chief, put out a big, long statement, and the first three words were, players are disgusted.
Hmm. Bill Shaken from the LA Times is with us. He covers baseball for the Times. And, Bill, if there was no season this year, if what Rob Manfred said on ESPN earlier today comes to fruition and they don't play at all, do the contracts just stay frozen? For example, Mookie Betts is supposed to be a free agent at the end of this season. Would he still be a free agent at the end of this season if they don't play?
Got some bad news for you on that, Dutch.
No!
The agreement that we've been talking about was originally negotiated to say, what if there's no season? And I think the premise for that is, what if the virus made it impossible to play the season? But right. Nonetheless, it says, what happens if there's no season? And the answer is, the players get a small advance, about 4% of their salaries collectively, but they do get a full year of service time. And all that's standing between Mookie Betts and free agency is a full year of service time.
No kidding.
Wow. That would be devastating. That would be devastating. What are next steps here, Bill?
Every day it changes. You'd like to think the two sides could get in a room and hammer it out, but because of the virus, they can't, so they're just torching each other on Zoom calls and lawyer letters. But you know, seriously, I mean, it's crazy because
right.
You guys all know, and anybody that's been in a business meeting would know, you know, things get hostile, you take a break, you go to the water cooler, you go to the vending machine, whatever, but they can't really do that. The owners, I think, basically have to decide, just play the season or try to keep negotiating for something that you're not going to get. And today, Rob Manfred said on ESPN that we were surprised that once we gave an indication that, okay, we'll give the players what they're owed under this agreement for salary, because the mm-hmm. owners had wanted the players to take less. But Rob said, fine, we'll go by the agreement. And yet the lawyer for the players keeps talking about filing a grievance that Rob said could be worth $1 billion. But I got to say, in all the proposals the owners have made to the players, they've never said they're going to back off on the players having to take less. So if that's a position the owners are taking now, then I think we definitely have a path to a settlement. But unfortunately, that has never actually been presented to the players.
Yeah, I noticed that too, that he's, you know, that's the one thing they've never really said they would do, give him 100%. And okay, so let me ask you about this. It leaked out over the weekend, Bill, that Turner, the television network, is prepared to give the Major League Baseball owners $1 billion at least for playoff money going forward. Do the players get a portion of that, or does that go straight in the owners' pockets?
Great question. It goes straight into the owner's pocket, and then it's distributed to the individual teams on a 1 out of 30 basis, since there are 30 teams. But, you know, presumably that is money that teams have in the pockets so that they can use it to help pay players' salaries. And again, in theory, the more money the owners have, the more the players should make. And the root of the labor ills, which extend long before the coronavirus was anything we had heard of, was that the revenue keeps going up in baseball and the salaries do not. And the players are trying to figure out how to fix that.
Wow. All right, so Bill, last shot here. Percentage chance we see a 2020 baseball season of some kind?
Man, I had a magic eight ball around here a second ago. I lost it. So I believe it says hazy is the outlook.
Wow.
Hazy is the outlook. Wow.
Would you have said that before this weekend? If we would have asked you that on Thursday, would that have been your answer?
I mean, to be honest, I still think we play because it's stupid not to. The owners do have the right to play a short season. And frankly, that's what the players think the owners are doing, is they're just stalling so that they can go, hey, we only got time for 50 games. Sorry about that.
So, Bill, do you think this has a long-term effect? And I'm saying, let's say they play. Is all this public negotiating, this back and forth, this animosity between the two, does that leave a mark? In other words, is that a bad taste in the mouth for the average sports fan?
If they play this season, I honestly don't think so. I think there are a small number of people who are intensely interested in this back and forth, and there's a much larger people who say, you know, just tell me when the Dodgers are playing and I can turn the game on.
I think
the greater problem is that the negotiators have torched one another thoroughly, and assuming they're the same people that are going to start negotiating the new collective bargaining agreement next year, which presumably would take effect the year after, if you don't have an agreement, you don't have games. And if there's no games in 2022, yeah, that's when people start to notice.
Right, right. All right. Hey, Bill, thank you very much for cheering us up. It's very nice to get that news.
I'll work on that part.
All right, cool. Thanks, Bill.
Hey, wow. at the top of the show, Morales made some reference to Botox.
Oh, yeah. Do you get Botox?
What's that about?
So there is a company, there's a doctor named Michael Schulzhauser, otherwise known as Dr. Miami. He's been running a clinic. Actually, I'll tell you about this next.
Okay.
That's coming up for you. And then 5 o'clock, our big replacement for Fast Track. You are going to love this. I promise. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. So anyways, there's this guy named Dr. Miami.
Mm-hmm.
He runs a clinic in his garage in his home in Florida. He's a plastic surgeon, and he comes up with this idea when he's sitting in his car at a drive-through site to get tested for the coronavirus antibodies. He realizes that the areas that he injects Botox are the upper face, exactly the parts of the face that aren't covered by the mask. And he's got people coming through his garage now paying on average $600 for Botox.
Wow.
And John, you look great. You look younger than your age, which I think is 67.
How old? Something like that, yeah.
You look better than that. And I've always wondered if you get Botox.
I haven't, but I'm not against it. Have you done it?
Well, here's the thing. So you remember famously when I had Bell's palsy.
Right.
Okay, so now when I smile, my whole left eye closes. Have you ever noticed that?
No, but I remember when you had Bell's palsy.
Right. So now the left side of my face is too active, so my eye closes when I smile, and my left side of my face goes higher than my right side. So, yes, the answer is yes. On the left side of my face, I'll admit it, I do get it, but it's exclusively because of Bell's palsy.
Right. I wouldn't be against trying it. It's basically for wrinkles, right?
Yeah, it's for wrinkles. I know a well-known person who says there's nothing wrong with doing a little work. Now, I think there is such a thing as doing too much.
Right, but that's
that. We live in Los Angeles.
But I was going to say, I'm not against any enhancement procedure. I'm really not. What if you feel like you be you? If you feel like it makes you feel better or more confident or makes you look better, go for it. You want a facelift or an eye lift or a Botox or whatever you're doing, go for it. I mean, come on. We live in half the actresses in this town have had work.
Yeah, I mean, most foreheads don't move in Los Angeles.
I wouldn't even say actresses. I feel most people I know,
most women
I know.
Lindsay, what
most
about
women
you?
I know. Yeah, I've been getting Botox and fillers for, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 years.
Have you really?
Yeah.
But don't most women do that, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I had like deep set, like forehead lines They say it's from like worrying too much, and you would never know it now. Like, I could not believe it. I thought it was magic the first time I got them. And they say that if you, because what Botox does is it relaxes the muscles. So if you start getting it when you're younger, like in your late 20s, then it actually helps prevent them from ever developing because it's relaxing the muscles that make the lines. So it's like a preventative thing too.
Yeah, I've got nothing against it. I think sometimes people go too far, but...
Yeah, people definitely do go too far.
Especially in this town. Like, sometimes you look around and you're like, oh my God, that's just a science experiment.
Here, to mix last segment and this segment together, if you watch the 30 for 30, two words, Sammy Sosa.
Oh, I heard
God,
Sosa.
Yeah.
Definitely too much.
Well, and,
he's doing the Michael Jackson thing, right?
Yeah, he's had so much work that he looks like a different guy now.
He really does.
Yeah, I think that becomes addictive. I think people just start doing stuff. And, science project from the neck up. You see that all over L.A. All over L.A. All right. There's a big movement, and George Sedano brought this up on my Twitter timeline. He said, when are you going to have not stepdad Leo on the show?
Okay.
When will he make an appearance? And the answer to that question is never.
Why?
Never.
No, Leo would be great on the radio.
He actually would be good on the radio.
Yeah.
But he's a Giants fan. He's a Notre Dame fan.
Now, I'm assuming
he's
that
a
has...
49ers fan.
That has finally... That your mom and not stepdad Leo were going to go to Ireland to go to the Notre Dame Navy game in Ireland. Is that trip canceled yet or no?
That trip has officially been canceled. Yeah, unfortunately. Okay. That was going to be my mom's first trip to Europe.
This was going to be, Lisa and I were supposed to leave yesterday for Italy. We're going to Italy this week, but it, you know, everything got, 2020, basically everything in 2020 has been canceled.
Oh, it's screwed. I mean,
although I went out this weekend,
screwed year.
I went out in like Hermosa Beach to a restaurant. We sat outside on the patio. It was excellent. It was very, every table was full. There was a line.
Really?
It was really good. All the servers wore masks. We were, now there were people inside the restaurant, but we sat outside. You know, by the way, you know who was at this restaurant while I was there?
Who?
Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn, inside or outside?
He was outside. He was like us. He's outside.
And was there social distancing?
Yes. Every other table. But
now, you know where I didn't see social distance? I saw pictures of Jack's graduation. Was everybody social distance there?
Well, okay, so it was interesting. The actual graduation, yes, it was a drive-by. You drove up, Jack got out of the car. Lisa and I stayed in it, but you could take pictures from it. He walked like down a gauntlet of teachers and administrators who are all wearing masks. He walked up to the front, picked up his diploma from the principal, who was wearing a mask and gloves. They're blaring Pomp and Circumstance over the speakers. He took several pictures, and then he left. But then, later that night, the entire graduating class, like 600 kids, walked together from the Hermosa Beach Pier to the Manhattan Beach Pier, and that was super cool. That was like all the people that own the big fancy houses on the beach came out of their houses and cheered for him because they all knew that they didn't get a regular graduation. And they were wearing masks. But it was like the protest. There was not social distancing. They were not like 6 feet apart, but nobody was worried. And we're going to find out, Mace, in the next, week, if there's going to be a COVID hit from these protests. Because all these people that were walking, even they were wearing masks, none of them were socially distanced.
Well, I mean, L.A. County, we don't have control of this thing at all in L.A. County.
Well, there's spikes
going up.
There's spikes all over the place, but you got to remember that there's more testing, too. There is, you know, there's going to be more cases because the testing has really improved. But
at the same time, that Lindsay, what did you say earlier? Of course, there's more testing. It means more people have it.
Right, but it also means they may have had it before, and we just didn't test them. You know what I'm saying? So if you test, if you only tested 100 people out of 1,000, and now you're testing 900 people out of 1,000, you're getting more positive results.
Right, but
the death numbers is what you want to watch. We don't get a spike in those, and that you don't pack the hospitals. That's what they were worried about in the first place. that the hospitals would be overloaded. So hopefully,
and so far, so good. Yeah. All right. Coming up next for you, Brant. Everybody is upset. There is anger in the streets over the elimination of Fast Track. Fast Track has been a part of the Mason and Ireland show since, for at least a decade. At least a decade. And it is gone at the hands of Boss Betty Pantsuit and Corporate Greg. So we have come up with a replacement for Fast Track. It is a brand new thing. I think you guys are going to like it a lot. And it's
never been done before.
Never been done.
Talk about an oversell.
No, this is really going to change the face of radio. Don't want to oversell it, but change the face of radio. Next, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.